AM, the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You must understand the touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl opposites attract. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than. I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that fits. But whatever the reason, you do it for me. Oh, what's love got to do? It's got to do with it. What's love but a second-hand emotion?
Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. The great Tina Turner, God rest her soul. She passed away last week. I think she was about 82 or 83 years old, if I'm not mistaken. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, the last day of May, May 31st. We're moving on into the summer. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with George Beebe of the Quincy Institute about the latest in the ongoing Ukraine war with Russia, including a drone attack on residential Moscow. Was it done by the Ukrainians? We're going to talk with George about it in just a couple of minutes. And FBI Director Christopher Wray is cited for contempt of Congress in refusing to turn over a document that might implicate Joe Biden in a criminal pay-for-play scheme. This is really getting pretty doggone important. We're going to take a look at that as well. And another Republican gets set to enter the presidential race. We're going to tell you who it is. Why not? Join the crowd. We'll tell you who it is down the road here on the show. And in our ultimate top 10, we think we've got a pretty good one here. The top 10 highest mountains in the world. In the world. Let's see if Ed's ever climbed any of them. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, we have a new sponsor, Arbor Life Tree Service. They're sponsoring us in part, and whether it's tree enhancement or tree removal or fertilizing your trees or grinding down stumps, anything to do with trees, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. I can speak from experience. I have used them. And they are simply great. They have all the equipment that you need. No job is too small. No job is too big. And by the way, they will work with government, with business, obviously with homeowners. They have a fully equipped fleet, trained crew members. They are ISO certified, and they are veteran owned. They got it all. Arbor Life Tree Service. All right. Glad to have him on board. So, boy, there's a lot of news going on. I guess this is about as important as anything. Although, if you listen to the mainstream press, you're not going to hear about this. At least I haven't heard about it. We'll find out. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer this morning is holding FBI Director Christopher Wray in contempt of Congress. In contempt of Congress. After the Bureau told him it will not comply with his request for a document that might implicate Joe Biden in a possible criminal scheme when he was vice president. They've got a document. It's not a classified document.
Now, what are the implications of being held in contempt of Congress? Is it no dessert for a week?
There you go.
Okay.
That's about it. They don't even slap your hand with a ruler. Here's the deal. If you're held in contempt of Congress, the only organization that can do anything about it is the Justice Department. Where is the Justice Department? It's under the auspices of Joe Biden. Christopher Wray is in the Justice Department as the FBI director. Merrick Garland is in the Justice Department as the Attorney General. It's the Attorney General's office that would issue the citation.
I mean,
now, you think they're going to do anything about this?
Well, I would.
The answer is either yes or no, and it's not yes.
Well, I would hope that they would. If there's some sort of illegal hanky-panky going on, I mean, for crying out loud, you dragged a guy in because he allegedly gave an ex-pole dancer some cash, right?
You impeached him for a phone call to the Ukrainian president.
It was called hearsay.
So we're going down this road, but here's the deal. The walls are closing in, even with the press and the Democrats trying to ignore this. The walls are closing in. Now, Comer is the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. He's a Republican from Kentucky. The document allegedly describes a criminal scheme involving Biden and a foreign national. I don't know if it's for sure, but I've heard it might be in Romania. So we can add Romania to the list of countries that Biden is apparently extorting money from, or you know what I mean, getting money from. It's from a foreign national, and it relates to the exchange of money for policy decisions. And apparently this document directly links it. Now, the House Oversight Committee and Comer himself have not seen the document. They've heard about it. One of the people that's an alleged whistleblower mentions the document. The Justice Department doesn't say that they don't have it, but they don't say that they do have it. Okay? And FBI Christopher Wray won't answer yes or no on it. Now, he is scheduled to testify, I think, tomorrow in front of James Comer and company and their oversight committee. That should be interesting. What's he going to say when they ask him about why he's not bringing the document with him? I forgot it. Oh, no, my dog ate the document. That's it. My dog ate the document.
Is this the same FBI?
My mom told me to tell you that my dog ate the document.
Same FBI that said there was Russian collusion going on?
Very same.
Yeah. You know,
same guys.
I used to have high regards for the FBI, but I don't.
I got off that train a couple of years ago.
I respect the men and women that are being enforced in the FBI, not the ones that are running it.
Of course. It's always the ones at the top that get.
Exactly.
It's never the people that are doing the real work. The ones that really have get up in the morning,
yes,
get cleaned up and go to work, and they think they're working on behalf of our country. God love them.
It's like any other business.
We salute them.
You know? It's like any other business. You can't blame the employees when the owners are buttholes, you know.
But when you have people at the top, and usually what happens, they're usually people that are brought in, they're executives, or they are career, let's say, FBI people sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just brought in from some other place. You know what I mean? So you can see why the people at the top can be more prone to not having the integrity of those longtime workers.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I think Christopher Wray, however, I think he was selected by Trump. Remember when Trump fired James Comey?
Right.
He put Christopher Wray in, but Christopher Wray was like the next guy in line, and Trump just kind of like took the, okay, who's next, you know? Oh, you're the next guy up mm-hmm. on the totem pole? Okay, you become the director. And that's how that went.
So, probably going to hear that argument in about 24 hours. But Trump is the one that put him there.
Yeah, they'll bring that up. But that doesn't mean that Trump can't put in a goofball And I never, to be honest with you, I've never thought much of Christopher Wray. I have never thought much about that guy. There's something about him. I hate to say this, but he's got a smirk on him all the time. Every time I see him, he's got this little smirk. If you know who I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying. He always has that little smirk look in his eyes.
Kind of guy you just want to smack him and take his lunch money?
He's kind of like that guy, you know, the one that starts everything and then sort of gets out of the way and lets it go ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the guy in school, you know.
The instigator.
Kind of like that. So, we'll see where all of this goes. I don't know if we've got our guy yet. Okay, good. Well, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, as we said, George Beebe will join us. We're going to talk about what's going on in Ukraine, including a drone attack on residential Moscow.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it
good to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Everybody say yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we are back. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, with all the things that are going on here domestically, we've still got that Ukraine war. Remember the war that Putin was going to end in a few days? That thing is still going on. And we've got our buddy George Beebe, who is the director of grand strategy at the Quincy Institute. He's a former Russia analyst for the CIA, former advisor on Russia to Vice President Dick Cheney. And he's director of grand strategy now at the Quincy Institute. We're going to talk with George again. George, you know, this Ukraine war continues on. There was this situation just... The other day, apparently, there's a bunch of drones that hit residential Moscow. Is there any update on where those drones might have come from?
Well, there's no official word on this. The Ukrainians are officially denying they had anything to do with it. But I think it's become increasingly clear that the Ukrainians are, in fact, behind these attacks.
Wow.
And Ukrainian officials are essentially saying, you know, yeah, we didn't do it, but we sure are happy that it happened.
Yes. Even if we didn't do it. I mean,
right.
Would it be possible that there's some inner subterfuge going on in the political world of Moscow and something like that could have occurred, what is it, domestically? Or do you think it really is the Ukraine?
Well, I think it really is the Ukrainians. I think there's very little doubt that that's what's going on.
Okay.
And the Ukrainians, I think, are essentially saying to the Russians, hey, you're hitting our cities, you're destroying our infrastructure, you're bombing civilians. And so, you know, we are not only fully justified in retaliating, but we think we have to in order to show you can't just get away with this without retaliation.
Yeah, yeah. Now, not long ago, the Ukrainian city of Bakhmut, was allegedly taken over by the Russians. Is that the case right now? And if it is, I believe it's in the eastern portion of Ukraine. If it is this a milestone in the battle?
Well, I don't think it really is a milestone in the sense that this isn't going to lead to some fundamental Russian breakthrough on the battlefield. You know, the domino that knocks over a lot of other dominoes and wins the war for the Russians. But it's significant in a different context. the Russians are trying to wear down the Ukrainian capacity for waging this war. They're tempting the Ukrainians into using up their soldiers, their air defense missiles, their artillery shells, in the hope that over time the Russians will simply exhaust Ukraine's ability to continue fighting and exhaust the West's patience with this war. And in that sense, I think Bakhmut was effective. I think the Russians were actually delighted that Zelensky, against the advice of a lot of military experts, decided to make a stand to try to defend the city and used up a lot of ammunition and manpower in so doing. So from the point of view of a war of attrition, Bakhmut, I think, indicates that the Russians have reason to believe that their strategy is working.
Yeah. Well, it's been well over a year now with this war, right? Didn't it start sometime in early last year? It's going on and on and on. And do you see an end sight at all? I mean, are we, is one side seemingly starting to take control here? It just seems like there's no, you can't see the horizon quite yet.
Well, I don't think a complete victory is possible for either side. It's quite clear that the West is not going to allow Ukraine to lose outright to Russia. And it's also clear that the Ukrainians are going to have their hands full in driving Russian forces off of all Ukrainian territory, including Crimea, which is their avowed objective in this war. So I don't see this ending on the battlefield. If it's going to end, it's going to have to end through some sort of diplomatic action. Right now, nobody seems very interested in pursuing that seriously. So we're still a ways from an end, I think.
Yeah. I mean, could this end up becoming something like the Korean War, where a truce is declared, let's say that the forces of the Russians back up again and just keep the Crimea area and they work out some deal that the rest of the Ukraine is still free from Russia, something like that?
Well, it is possible, but I rather doubt that that's a likely outcome. The reason being, the Russians want to ensure that Ukraine is not going to be either an official or a de facto ally of the United States. And their best means of ensuring that that doesn't happen, if they can't win outright, is simply to keep this war going at some level and destroy Ukraine if they can't conquer it. So there may be some respite, there may be some ceasefires, but unless some fundamental issues are addressed, I don't think this war is going to settle into some sort of stable stalemate over a long period of time.
We're talking with George Beebe. He is the director of Grand Strategy at the Quincy Institute and quite a pedigree, former chief Russia analyst for the CIA. So he certainly knows what he's talking about, and a former advisor to Vice President Dick Cheney on Russia. What about Putin, George? There's got to be a tremendous amount of pressure on him to start winning this war, or showing something. It seems like I would worry about the Politburo and all of those people around him, and they might be worried as well.
Well, yeah, there is growing pressure on Putin, and part of the problem here is that the Russian people are getting impatient for victory, not impatient to compromise or withdraw or sue for peace. But there's a growing number of people in Russia that are saying, hey, wait a minute, why are we not using all of the military resources that we have to defeat the Ukrainians now? What's stopping us? Now, Putin's strategy is different. He has a long-term strategy. A war of attrition is one in which you're trying to grind down the enemy slowly. And so the question for Putin is, can he maintain the patience of the Russian people here and see his strategy through before political pressures on his side cause him to become more aggressive to escalate this war in a significant way.
I mean, they've lost thousands of Russian soldiers, right?
Oh, indeed they have. And the estimates of this, I think, are not particularly accurate, but certainly over 100,000 casualties.
They have, huh?
Probably more than that.
Really? Dead? 100,000 dead?
Well, certainly
total injuries.
Yeah, total,
I got it.
Total.
So why isn't this something that I mean, the common man in Russia does he give a damn about annexing Ukraine? Isn't this something? Is this a grand and glorious dream of Putin to grab it back? It seems like, but the common man walking the street. I would think that they would be a little bit, let's get out of there kind of mentality. Am I wrong about that?
Well, if you frame the war that way, then I think you're right. But that's not how the Russians are framing this war. They're arguing that this is not a war against Ukraine and it's not a war for land. This is a war against NATO, which, according to the Russian narrative, and I think it's a sincerely believed narrative on their part, has been attempting to surround Russia with hostile NATO allies and ultimately to break up Russia and foment regime change in Moscow. And so when you look at the war through that prism, there's an awful lot more support in Russia for not allowing the United States and NATO to subjugate Russia. And unfortunately, the Ukrainian attacks on Russian territory only feed that narrative. It only convinces more Russians that Russia is in fact under attack by the West through its Ukrainian proxy.
So they are getting this information through their state-controlled media. The NATO countries surrounding Russia have this grand and glorious plan to at some point go after the Russians. Is that what they really believe?
Yeah, it is. And it's been a narrative that's been growing since well before this war began. A lot of Russians believe it. And unfortunately, a lot of the things that the West has been doing feed into that narrative.
Mm-hmm. What about, and just thinking about how this whole scenario with Ukraine will end, what about if they sat down at the table and they said, look, let's stop this war and Ukraine will not join NATO. Do you think, I know that Zelensky, who is the president of the Ukraine, is probably interested in joining NATO, but could that be a way of helping end this war? That this would be more like a buffer country?
Well, yeah, I think in principle that has to be a part of a solution, and that's something, however, that the United States has ruled out doing. The Russians had proposed that kind of a solution for many years, and the United States has said, well, that's not up for discussion. You know, Ukraine has a fundamental right to be a part of the NATO alliance, and one day it will be. So that's the official position of the United States, the official position of the NATO alliance, and the Ukrainian government actually codified that in law, that becoming a part of NATO and the EU is something that will happen.
Well, I can see where this is just an incentive for Putin to continue this war. What about the threat of nuclear weapons, George?
Well, it's a very serious problem. One of the things that John Kennedy said about the Cuban Missile Crisis was that it's chief lesson was don't put a nuclear adversary in a position where it has to choose between humiliation and using nuclear weapons. And unfortunately, that seems to be the direction that this war is heading, where, you know, one side or the other might face that kind of choice. It's happening in a context in which a lot of people in the West have lost their fear of nuclear war. You know, we tend to dismiss this as something that, you know, just won't happen. It's too irrational. Nobody would take the suicidal step of pressing the nuclear button. But I think that ignores the ways we could find ourselves in an escalatory spiral that would force either us or Russia to choose between humiliation and escalation. And that could be very difficult to control.
Yeah, and I don't think the Allies or the Americans are going to initiate a nuclear bomb, but I certainly would not hesitate to think that Putin might consider it if he felt that, you know, things were getting so bad, and if he started to lose this war and the Russian soldiers were being driven out to save face on his part, do you think he would be crazy enough to consider that?
Well, I do, unfortunately. And when you consider Crimea, which is the home of Russia's Black Sea Fleet, if Russia were to lose Crimea, it would also lose its Black Sea Fleet, which would render its southern coastline along the Black Sea vulnerable to Western naval attacks. That's a very serious security concern for the Russians, and I think they would escalate if they felt they were in danger of losing Crimea.
Wow. Where is Mikhail Gorbachev when we need him?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I mean,
there's nobody like that in the Politburo.
Right. No, there's not. In fact, I think Russian politics are headed in a much more nationalist direction rather than a liberalizing or westernizing direction.
Boy, we got to worry about that, and we got China too. Things are tense, George. I'm so glad that we got you to talk with and you know, kind of update us on things like that. Anyway, I thank you so very much for coming on. Very interesting discussion, and I look forward to our next discussion.
Great, thank you.
All right, sir. George Beebe of the Quincy Institute. Boy, oh boy, we got to not take our eye off the ball over there. All right. Let us take our break. And when we come back, another Republican is getting set to enter the presidential race. We're going to tell you who it is.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Well, indeed, we are delighted to have Arbor Life Tree Service as a co-sponsor here of Freedom Works. Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and the insect control to grinding and removal of trees, you'll get an experienced ISO certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. They have a fully equipped fleet, trained crew members. They care for trees of all sizes. So whether you're a government, you're a contractor, you're a business, you're a homeowner, take it from me, I'm a homeowner. They came in, did a wonderful job. I had three trees that had to be removed. They have all the equipment. My goodness, they've got it all. And they'll give you a free estimate very quickly. Here's what you have to do. Call Arbor Life Tree Service, 727-330-1999. And you'll get a quick and a free estimate from them. Again, that's 727-330-1999. It's Arbor Life Tree Service. They will go out on a limb for you.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it good
to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Well, so Ron DeSantis, and I think Donald Trump, maybe there's a bunch of other presidential candidates They're over in Iowa right now, are they not? And in fact, I think that Ron DeSantis is planning on going to just about every county in the state of Iowa. So, you know, Iowa is the first. In fact, they don't even have a primary. They have a caucus. They have a caucus, and it's a difficult situation. But groups of people get together and hammer out who they're going to nominate in their particular district.
Our local paper is having a ball with this.
Oh, I'll bet they are.
Where is he? Why isn't he in Florida taking care of business?
You're right about that. Well, Ron DeSantis kicked off his campaign in Iowa yesterday with his usual sharp rhetoric aimed at woke culture and the failures of Biden. But he also included what appeared to be a thinly veiled slight of our buddy Donald Trump. He said, at the end of the day, leadership is not about entertainment. It's not about building a brand. It's not about virtue signaling. It's about results. His words appeared to be a jab at Trump's unconventional style, and what some critics have claimed is him being entirely self-focused and self-gratifying. DeSantis also used the speech to rail against the nation's fiscal crisis, a hot topic amid the ongoing efforts to pass through Congress, of course, the debt ceiling agreement. And that thing, by the way, there's no guarantee about that debt ceiling being passed. There's a bunch of Republicans that have jumped off the train on that one. And I don't know if they're going to get back on that train. So the question is whether or not McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, can get enough Democrats to jump on the train as it rides along the rails.
You know what I say? I say we put everything that's in this package for the American people to see. Everything. And the American people vote. Mm-hmm. How about that?
We're a republic, and
well, the thing is, why do we need these people to tell us how much money to spend on fish swimming upstream?
Right.
Or COVID money to China?
Here's the deal that McCarthy will tell you. It's a 99-page document. It's easy to read.
Mm-hmm.
This means that all of the people that are voting on it in Congress have plenty of time to read the document and know completely. It's not like our friend Nancy Pelosi. What would she say? We have to pass the bill before we can figure out what's in it. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
On the health care bill and others?
Yeah.
It was thousands of pages, and nobody read it.
Yeah.
Nobody read it.
No.
So at least McCarthy can say, this is 99 pages. It's understandable. So let's take a look at it. Let's vote on it. It went through, apparently it has passed the House Rules Committee, and they are supposed to have a vote. I think, I may be wrong, but I think they're supposed to vote on it sometime today.
I think they have till the 5th of June.
They do in the full full
believe,
House?
I believe they have to have an answer.
Well, they have to have an answer. Yes, they have to have it. What I'm saying, though, is that the House itself needs to pass this bill.
Yeah.
And once that's done, also the Senate has to come up with a similar piece of legislation. Remember, they both, then it goes to a committee of the whole, or whatever they call it, to come up with an agreement that both of them agree on. So, anyway, there's still a lot to do on this. Now, in the meantime, guess who's jumping into the presidential race?
Oh, boy.
I know we got a lot of Republicans that are doing it. Well, how about our buddy from New Jersey?
Oh, Chris Christie, I'm
Chris
sure.
Chris Christie.
Yeah, well.
Yes, indeed. Chris Christie is coming in.
That ship has sailed a long time
ago.
It has. You know?
It has.
He was at his
height. But he's in a big canoe, and he's coming back.
Maybe two canoes, but
he's a vocal Trump critic. He's going to get in, and he's going to be shooting cannon shots at Donald.
Not sure that's a good thing to do. And I heard Mike Pence could probably get into this too.
Pence is going to come in.
Yeah, you know, listen, Mike Pence, you're like a shiny, beautiful race car in a race, and you've got no engine in
the
car whatsoever. You're Flintstoning the way into the race, but no,
He doesn't have a lot of
pizzazz.
I don't
know who would throw their money at him, you know.
I mean, he's like an arch-conservative, and he's very religious, you know, a Christian evangelical type. But you're right. I don't think that he gets a lot of...
I wonder what the percentage is of the nominee who picked somebody that was in the race with them as their running mate. I wonder what the percentage is.
It's usually pretty high, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, well, you've got to look at...
Look what the,
yeah, look at Ding Dong. He picked
Biden did.
Someone accused him of being a racist.
Biden did it. Yeah. Biden ran against Obama, and Obama picked Biden to be his vice president. Yeah. I think there's a good chance.
Maybe that's why they're in it.
You know, as an example, Nikki Haley could be a good vice presidential candidate for either...
I think
for Trump or, although, now Nikki Haley's going to burn some bridges.
Yeah.
And when you burn a bridge or two with Trump, you're off his team. But I wouldn't be surprised.
I'd like to see Scott from Carolina be who's ever
And
on
there's
the
another
ticket.
Guy from South Carolina, Tim Scott.
Yeah.
Is it Tim Scott?
I believe so.
He's a very likable guy, and he's got all of the qualities, a conservative black man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's easy to like. So that's another one.
Yeah.
But here's Chris Christie. Christie's 60 years old, and he is expected to announce for president next week in New Hampshire. Sources familiar with Christie's thinking say that he will formally launch his campaign in a town hall at a college in New Hampshire. Let's see, next Tuesday is when he's going to announce. Aren't we going to have... I think we're going to have a town hall with Donald Trump. It may be tonight.
Is that tonight?
I don't know if it's tonight or tomorrow night on Hannity, the Fox News station.
I got Thursday on my
it
mind
might be
for
Thursday.
Some reason.
I'm not sure. That's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Not sure.
Yeah, it may be tomorrow night. I think you may be right about that. And that may be interesting. Donald Trump live in the town hall in Iowa on the Sean Hannity show. But now that you've got... So Chris Christie, let's be honest. Chris, you're talking about a ship that has sailed. Your ship has sailed.
What's he known for, that whole toll booth thing?
That bridge thing, right? That's
his running mate is somebody shut down the toll booth.
One time when everybody was supposed to be off the beaches, do you remember he was laying on the beach somewhere? I forget what that deal was.
They all got caught. You mean the COVID days?
Was it COVID and
he was
on the beach?
Come on, they all cheated.
Was it the COVID or was it before that? Anyway, he's gotten himself into a couple of pickles. These guys, they don't they understand? Isn't there anybody in the group that'll say, Chris, you ain't going to win. Don't bother. Any of his friends, take him aside and say, look, Chris, you're a nice guy.
They never have those friends, like drug addicts. Why don't they have one friend that's telling them to stop doing the drugs, you know?
Exactly.
You know,
Lemmings.
I met a woman the other day, we were talking, and she had just moved down from Maine. And I said to her, I've always gone to go to Maine. She said, I always wanted to come to Florida the last couple of years. I said, why is that? She goes, well, especially during COVID, you guys were having a ball down here. And I decided that, you know, once my affairs were all cleaned up there, I was moving to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you think? She goes, it's like the U.S. used to be,
mm-hmm.
you know? And she said, we'd see it on the news all the time of the things that are going down and, you know, happening in Florida and whatnot, you know, this awful state of Florida that is being so mean to Disney World and places. By the way, did you see the video of the woke grandma at Disney? A Disney employee dressed as a grandmother with a beard.
Oh yes, wasn't it supposed to be some sort of a Cinderella routine?
Yes, yes,
yeah. That's where we're going.
Yeah.
Even in Florida, we got this problem. Now, what about, I just read an article that says, I think it was on the Drudge Report, and you've got this headline about LGBTQ people leaving in droves Florida. Come on, there's nobody.
You mean from Florida?
Leaving from Florida.
Yeah, not to Florida.
No, to. I meant from.
Yeah.
And I'm going, come on.
Can you see little Susie in line, you know, in passing that grandma and... saying, Mommy, Grandma didn't shave this morning.
No, Grandma's got awful hairy legs, Mom. I didn't, you know, I have to tell you
Grandma
what.
Grandma had a full beard, by the way. No, she did.
I know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it he, she, I don't know.
I know. I'm telling you, Walt Disney himself, if he were to come back and see what's happened to his beloved Disney World and Disneyland.
Now, here's the thought.
I can tell you that he just would be, I'll tell you what, he wouldn't want to come back.
I have a question now. At Disney World, I believe, I'll have to check, that male employees are not allowed facial hair.
What about Captain Hook? He had a big mustache.
No. Well,
I know what you mean.
I don't believe
I would not be surprised if that was the case originally, yes.
So that doesn't apply if you're going as a woman.
That's a very good question.
Because it doesn't state in there that women can have facial hair.
You see, you're playing a character. Well, and when you play a character, all bets are off, right? But you're talking about the typical employee that's running around taking care of the park.
Yep.
I would believe that. Yeah. I wonder if that rule will stay.
I think I'm going to write an email to somebody.
You know,
I was offended.
I can't remember the last time. I went to Disney World years and years ago. There was nothing like this going on, of course, at that time.
You think you took out Splash Mountain because of some emails, but we've got to Grandma with a beard.
Oh, goodness. All right, let's take our final break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the home prices and what's going on with them. And we will give you the top 10 highest mountains in the world.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Well, Arbor Life Tree Service, Tampa Bay's finest tree service company, has now become a member of Freedom Works. We're delighted to have them on board. And from trimming, pruning, fertilizing your trees, insect control, all the way down to grinding and total removal of trees, you get an experienced, ISO-certified, and veteran-owned firm with Arbor Life Tree Service. It can do any tree job, large or small. Now, Arbor Life Tree Service has a fully equipped fleet, trained crew members. They care for trees of all sizes, and it doesn't make any difference if you're government, you're a contractor, you're a business, or you're a homeowner. Arbor Life Tree Service will be there for you. So don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service, 727-330-1999, and you'll get a free estimate from them. Again, the number, 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service, they'll go out on a limb for you.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate that. By the way, Freedom Works comes to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. And we're delighted to be here. We're delighted that you find the time to listen to us. However, if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website and listen to us on tape, on podcast. All you have to do is go to OurFreedomWorks.com. That's OUR, OurFreedomWorks.com. com. Look at the top. There's the podcast button. Click on it. Ed's got all the shows. Most recent show at the top. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see what the topic is with the guest. And you'll see our top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So what's going on in the housing market these days? Home prices rose for the second straight month in March as buyers confronted steep competition and limited inventory. Apparently, prices increased nationally about 0.7% from February to March. I notice from time to time when I'm wandering around the neighborhood that there are a few houses that are up for sale. Here's the deal. The Fed has raised the interest rates a couple of times. Prices are increasing. Florida's a great market, but even here in Florida, the prices, I think, are finally getting to that point where people are taking a second thought about whether or not they're going to have a good
This time last year, there were no houses for sale. As soon as they went up on the market, they were gone.
Yeah.
Now I'm seeing a lot more signs.
That are signs there. Yeah, I've got one down the road, down the street, same street as me. I think, frankly, it's way overpriced, and it's been sitting there now for several weeks, and I don't see any traffic. The interest rates, the mortgage rates, and people, you know, with everything else and inflation and everything else, I think that they're just kind of, I don't know, they're kind of waiting, aren't they?
Yeah.
They want to see what's going to go on. We're in a kind of a holding pattern. But it's, Florida, you know, if there's anywhere where people are going to be buying homes, it's going to be here because people are still coming here. They like what they see here. And so I guess if you had to be anywhere and sell a house, Florida's as good a place as any, you know. All right. Before we get to our top 10, one more story before we get to anything else. Our buddy Gavin Newsom, my sister Lisa calls him Gavin Nuisance, the governor of California. I like it. He was fact-checked by the Ron DeSantis team after he blamed the Memorial Day shooting in Hollywood, Florida. Did you hear about that, Ed? There was a shooting. I think it was like a biker group or something like that.
Yes, I remember that. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, Newsom blamed it on laws that DeSantis signed that are not yet in effect. Mm. You know, we got the new concealed carry laws, right?
Yeah.
At least 9 people, including minors, were hospitalized on Memorial Day after an altercation escalated into gunfire at the Hollywood Beach Boardwalk. Newsom blamed it on a bill that DeSantis signed in April that eliminates the requirement for an individual to obtain a permit to carry a concealed firearm. Newsom said it removes requirements for background checks, instruction, training, and oversight. That's all not true. And the law, by the way, he's talking about hadn't gone into effect. Hadn't gone into effect yet. The DeSantis team replied that the bill doesn't go into effect until July. And the tweet comes from them. Hi, Gavin. How does a law that doesn't take effect until July 1st change the outcome of this? Newsom's claim about the constitutional carry law removing requirements for background checks also misleading. The law allows eligible citizens to carry without asking the government for a permit and without paying a fee. The legislation does not change who is eligible to obtain a permit, and those who still wish to get a permit may do so under the law. So there you go. All right. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, how are our beloved baseball, Tampa Bay?
I'm confused.
How are they slapping those Cubs silly in Wrigley Field?
No, they got beat two games in a row here. I was fuming on, what was it, Sunday, with the Rays gave up 10 runs in 6 innings, and they left the same pitcher in there. 10 runs.
What's going on? Didn't they have anybody in the bullpen?
Well, that's everybody his out? Cry, that he didn't want to use bullpen people for...
Did he just decide the game's not going to win?
Well, no, they actually won the game. They actually won the game by a run. But it sends the wrong message to the rest of the team that when you score 10 runs, you expect to win, not be tied and blow the game. I mean, he gave up back-to-back home runs twice. At what point do you
pull the guy? So you're talking about a game that the Rays won.
The Rays won in the ninth inning.
What was this final? Do you remember?
11-10.
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right, we got to get to our top 10.
Good Lord.
Get over on the drums there.
I mean, I was checking my arm Sunday. You know?
All right. This is an interesting top 10. The top 10 highest mountains in the world. Let's see if Ed knows what number one is when we get to it. All right? Here we go. Number 10. Annapurna. It's 26,545 feet. And it is in Nepal. Mm. All right. Number 9, Nanga Parbat. It's in Pakistan. 26,660 feet. Boy, I wouldn't want to fall that far.
No.
Would you bounce?
You'd probably roll a lot.
I think you would. Number 8, Manaslu. It's also in Nepal. 26,781 feet. Number 7, Dalagiri. Boy, Nepal's got a handle on all these. It's in Nepal, 26,795 feet. Number 6, Chow Oyu. It's in both China and Nepal. It must be a pretty big mountain. 26,864 feet. Number 5, Makalu, also in Nepal and China, 27,838 feet. By the way, all of these are next to each other. That's why they're all tall.
Mm-hmm.
They're all kind of bunched together. Okay, number 4. Lhotse, Lhotse, in China and Nepal, 27,940 feet. Number 3. Kanchenjunga. Good old Kanchenjunga. It's in a combination of Nepal and India, 28,167 feet. Number 2. Of this one, it sounds like an insect repellent. K2.
Bless you.
K2. 28,251 feet. It's in a combination of Pakistan and China. All right, Dad. What's the number one tallest mountain?
The only one I would know is the one that stupid people are always trying to climb and lose their life off of. So I'd have to say Mount Everest, I think it is, isn't it?
Roll the drum. You are correct.
Yeah.
Mount Everest, get this, is 5.5 miles high.
Good Lord.
That means it's 29,029 feet.
I mean,
did you know that Hillary Clinton claimed that she was named for the guy that first climbed it, Sir Edmund Hillary? There was only one small caveat.
Where she got her name from?
There was only one small caveat to that.
Mm.
She was born before Edmund Hillary climbed the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it was true.
A lot of people gave her other names, too.
But you're right. Mount Everest is the one. It's been the one. Eh. Oh, you know the tallest mountain in the United States? It used to be called Mount McKinley. It's now called Denali. And it's in Alaska.
What was it, McKinley, and we took it down because he owned a slave or something, or what?
Denali was the original name. McKinley was it was named for the president at the time, McKinley. Anyway, 20,310 feet, but I guess they call it Denali again. So there you go. You can call it anything you like. All right, thanks so much. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
You're listening to the TAN Talk Radio Network.
is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. It's a scramble for votes as the House of Representatives is poised to act later today on the debt ceiling bill hammered out by the White House and Speaker Kevin McCarthy. CBS's Nicole Killian on Capitol Hill.
At least two dozen Republicans say they'll vote no on the final bill because it doesn't do enough to rein in spending. Progressive Democrats are also concerned about stricter work requirements for those on government assistance. Republicans held a closed-door meeting to rally support for the bill while White House officials brief House Democrats this morning.
Days after a partial apartment building collapse in Davenport, Iowa, CBS's Adriana Diaz says there's concern about those still unaccounted for.
Officials say two people may still be in the rubble. We spoke to Brandon Colvin Jr., who says that includes his dad.
Where was the apartment?
It was like at the top of where it all fell down.
Colvin says his father just moved into the building in April and was excited about his new apartment.
I don't feel they've done anything to try to find him.
We want to get everybody out, and we want to do it right now.
The city is still determining how to continue its search carefully as the building's in danger of coming down at any moment.
Now to Southern California, where there's video evidence as a large crowd of teenagers kicks and punches three U.S.